is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer, and this is Rogue Talk for January 26, 2017, and this is going to be a fun show. This is one of the days every year I look forward to, because we've got a couple of young ladies from the high school here representing the FFA program, and we're going to get them on the air and find out what's going on. There's all kinds of good stuff going on with the FFA program. So because they're here now and they're ready to go, we're going to skip news and sports, and we'll cover that at the end of the show. So for most of you that listen for the guests, you'll be able to cut out early today. So that's good news. So joining me in the studio, a couple of senior students from Rogue River Junior Senior High School, Amber Cripps and Zoe Reeder. Welcome to Rogue Talk, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Always fun to come in and be on the show.
But yeah, so there's just a few things that we wanted to kind of update, I guess, or like let the community know about.
Okay, well, of course, Amber, you've been in a couple of times before, so you're kind of an old hat at this, and
exactly.
this is Zoe's first time, and so before we dig deep into all the FFA news, which is what you're here for, of course, because you've got a big event coming up, let's get to know you two just a little bit.
Okay.
So those listeners that don't know who you are. So let's start with Zoe. Zoe, you're a senior.
I am.
And you play a few sports. So just tell us what your school life looks like.
Okay. So I'm a senior at the high school. I play three sports throughout the year. So I play basketball, soccer, and softball. I'm involved in FFA highly, the art program, the leadership program, volunteer work. Overall, I'm mostly at the school.
Yeah, I know the feeling. That before I started at the radio station here, I spent most of my volunteer time at the school.
Yeah.
So whether I was coaching or writing down your technical fouls in the book, I was...
It's always me.
Always something. So, and how long have you been involved with FFA?
I've been involved, this is my fifth year.
Fifth year in FFA.
Fifth year.
Wow.
Started in eighth grade.
And what draws you, or what was your draw to the FFA program?
Honestly, it was the public speaking competitions in eighth grade. Mr. Herringshaw, he told me that I was going to do a public speaking competition, and I was like, oh, I don't know about that. and then I did it, and I love it. It's a lot of fun, and I compete in it every year, so.
Yeah, well, and that pretty much parallels my story, how I ended up here, because of the time I was running the scoreboard at the basketball games for several years, and I've told this story on the air before, but Dave Earhart handed me a microphone and said, hey, you're going to do introductions tonight, and I'm like, no, I'm not. And he goes, no, man, Mike's not going to be here, you need to do that, and so I did, and the rest is history. I really enjoy public speaking. I love emceeing. In fact, I'm looking forward to Miss Rogue River. We didn't get to do it last year, got canceled, but I really love doing that. I got to do the tree lighting, which was mostly a disaster this year, but we made it a fun
yeah.
time. I definitely get it. Somebody challenges you to do something you wouldn't have normally done, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you go, hey, this is pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's great. And so, Amber, tell us about your school life. I know there's some really good news has been on the out on the social media lately. Tell us about what's going on with you.
Well, I am also a senior at the high school, and I've been in the Rogue River School District since kindergarten, and as of recently, I've been applying to colleges and everything, and I've always been a bit of a shy person, kind of like a homebody. Haven't ever really thought of even leaving Oregon for school, but now that's like my top option. I was accepted to Texas Tech and Purdue over in Indiana, and I want to major in agriculture communication, so I'm kind of trying to get out of Oregon just because no programs offer that major. And also, I don't know, I guess like between high school and college, if you're gonna leave home, you may as well go somewhere far.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you guys have made, is it one or two trips to Indianapolis recently, the last couple of years?
I think I've been three.
Three, you've been three. I know,
yeah.
I know
when
myself,
we went to Kentucky.
I knew two years for sure that I had remembered seeing, but did that help you choose Indiana as a possible location to go?
Actually, it kind of did. My junior year, we actually toured Purdue. It was kind of an impromptu tour. It wasn't official. We just kind of wandered around campus. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this is kind of like a prestigious school. I didn't think I would ever get in. I didn't even tell anyone that I applied just because I wasn't expecting an acceptance letter. And then I checked my email one day and I had been accepted like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't think this would happen. But then it did.
Yeah, well, you can be surprised, mm-hmm. but most of us that know you aren't that surprised.
Well,
and
thank you.
And so she mentioned college, Zoe. What are your college plans?
So I got accepted to Oregon State University. So in the fall, I'll be going up there, and I'm going to major in agriculture education.
Sweet. So FFA has definitely been the right program
yes,
for you.
Definitely has been.
That's cool. Now I mentioned you play some sports and you kind of rattled those off. But mm-hmm. we were kind of joking before the show started here that your calling probably would be in hockey. Is that?
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. If we had a hockey team, I would play on it.
Well, neither one of you probably listened to when we broadcast the games, Zoe, because you're playing and.
I've heard a few. You've
heard a couple. You
yeah.
probably just want to see how bad I was. I know. So that's okay. It's all right with me. I have a good time. But one of our regular helpers to the sports broadcast is Mike in the Truck. Mike in the Truck is my brother that lives in California. And he's also listening today. He's already
Mike.
Contacting me the show. Well, first of all, he was surprised to hear you describe yourself as shy, Amber. He's only heard you on the radio, uh-huh. doesn't know you in person, and he was shocked because you are a very good speaker and you
Thank
do
you.
Well on the radio. So, but Zoe, on the other hand, she would be the enforcer, I think. That's why I think she should play hockey. And,
yes.
And Mike in the Truck would appreciate that. He's a big San Jose Sharks fan,
okay.
So goes to a couple of games every year. And he would like watching you play. You're his kind of hard-nosed player. Just Mike in the Truck, just think Draymond Green, and that's pretty much Zoe's game.
I hope that's a compliment.
Well, he might put up a few more points than you do, but when it comes to keeping law and order on the court, he's definitely your doppelganger.
That's good.
So let's get to the heart of what we brought you here for today. You have upcoming the annual beef feed, and the most of the community, I probably don't have to tell them this, they look forward to this mm-hmm. event. They love this event, but we've got some new things happening and some a new location this year. So why don't you guys take turns and tell us about some of the things that are going to be happening with this year's beef feed, and tell us when it is, by the way.
Yeah, of course. So the beef feed this year is going to be on February 3rd. The silent auction starts at 5:00 and the dinner starts at 5:45. It's going to be at the high school this year instead of the middle school. So there's a lot more room. So for all those people that came last year and standing room only, there's going to be room for you this year. We have a lot of big items for the live auction, quite a few for the small auction or for the silent auction. We're also going to be doing a dessert auction.
Yeah. So the dessert auction is something that's new this year. We're kind of just getting it started. Most chapters around here have auctions where it's just dessert items such as like cakes or pies or any kind of homemade specialty that a lot of like school members or community members have. I attended Hidden Valley's dessert auction last year, and our table actually bought a $400 chocolate cake, and it's kind of crazy how much money some of the dessert items bring in. We're hoping to have a silent auction with some dessert items, and if you're the highest bidder, the dessert will be brought to your table. And then for some more esteemed desserts from community members who are known for their baking and stuff, we're going to enter them into the live auction and then also have those brought to the table as dessert. Our chapter has really grown a lot within the last year, for sure. So we're expecting an even more successful and more fun beef feed for this year.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, did you say, are you still looking for donations for the dessert auction?
You know, we are. We can never have too many dessert donations, so we are looking for any type of dessert that could be made. We're hoping to gather them all at the school around 10 or 11 a.m. Saturday morning. So we already have quite a few people in line who have committed to donating a dessert, but if anyone is interested in donating a dessert, there is a post on our Rogue River FFA Facebook page that you're able to message the page or let us know if you're interested in it. Otherwise, you can contact the high school and ask for Mr. Herringshaw or Miss Bambino.
That sounds great, and I think you should corner Cameron on that. He can make some pretty good cookies, okay. That kid, so you corner him. He'll probably try and get out of it, but yeah, we make him make cookies now because mine always end up flat. I don't know. I used to be really good at it, and I've lost my touch, so I passed it on to Cameron. And we call him Cameron because I don't know if you got the message, but
I think I heard.
He doesn't want to be called Chappie anymore, okay. And I thought that was kind of a mature decision for him to make, and kind of a tough one. And it was kind of fun the first week that was happening. I was with him at a couple of basketball events, and I think it was Aiden Canoe, and see you later, Chappie. And he stops himself and he goes, I mean, Cameron.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of fun. But anyhow, he's a pretty good cookie maker. So you might want to see if you can get him to give you a couple of dozen there.
All right.
So this is your like biggest fundraiser, right?
Oh yeah. It is definitely our biggest fundraiser. It makes things like scholarships or travel funds or any career development events that we attend. It makes all of those possible at no cost to our members. It also, a lot of the freshman members this year were able to get free FFA jackets because our beef feed was so successful last year. And I know that for anyone who's involved in FFA, their FFA jacket is like really special to them, especially once they get one with their name embroidered on it. Last year, I believe we raised around $16,000 from the community. So it's really incredible. My favorite part of the whole event is seeing so many familiar faces out there and like who are willing to support us and are excited about everything that we're doing.
That's great. Well, I'd like to talk more about this, but let's take a little bit of a break, and we will come back with more with Amber and Zoe, so don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. USA Gymnastics has confirmed that its entire board of directors will resign as requested by the U.S. Olympic Committee. The move came Friday in the fallout from the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. The former USA Gymnastics sports doctor has pleaded guilty to molesting girls and young women. Some of the nation's top gymnasts, including Olympians Ali Reisman, Michaela Maroney, Simone Biles, and Jordan Weber, said they were among his victims. The USOC had threatened to decertify the gymnastics organization, which besides picking U.S. national teams is the umbrella organization for hundreds of clubs across the country. A handful of board members had stepped down, but the USOC said a wholesale change was needed. On Wall Street, the Dow by 224 points. The Nasdaq rose 95. The S&P advanced 34. More details at srnnews.com.
Broadcasting on 100,000 milliwatts.
Don't try this at home.
Ow! 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. We had a little technical difficulty there. The sports didn't update, and so it skipped right over it. And so now I'm out of breath because I ran out to my car. Full disclosure on this show, we don't try and hide anything. So while I catch my breath, I'm going to get these ladies back on the mic. Of course, we're talking to Amber Cripps and Zoe Reeder from the Rogue River FFA chapter. You mentioned that the FFA chapter at Rogue River has been growing. Tell us why you think that is, and if you think that's going to continue.
All right. Well, compared to this time last year, Our membership, so students who are taking an agriculture-related class has over doubled in size. And also, over the summer, we were able to grow our agriculture department and bring in a second agriculture teacher and FFA advisor, Nicole Bambino. Just recently, we ran the statistics for the number of members in FFA chapters across Oregon, and Rogue River's FFA chapter is actually the largest chapter in Southern Oregon, and we're the fifth largest FFA chapter in the whole state of Oregon as of this year. So that's something really exciting, thinking that 5 years ago we were struggling to even have an FFA chapter. So it's something to be excited about for sure.
Now you guys got a new.
Helps if I turn my microphone on. You guys got a new instructor a couple of years back, and from where I stand, I would say he's a big part of the reason the program has grown so much. Would you agree with that, Zoe?
Definitely. When Mr. Herringshaw first came, we had just barely five members in the whole chapter, and this year we have a third of the school that is in our FFA chapter. Mm-hmm. And so kind of to put that into perspective is kind of insane to think that in just 5 years we've populated most of the school. So
yeah, I'm not sure if we have a third of the school playing at least one sport at this point.
No,
so that's pretty
not significant
mm-hmm. part
yeah.
of it. And I mean, and you know, for outsiders, and I don't know how many people listen from other places than Rogue River, but that would see, they would, their first impression would be, well, you know, you're a little school out in the sticks, and but we're really not. I mean, we're on the edge of Jackson County, which is, you know, Medford's the largest city in Southern Oregon, and we're not really, I mean, Rogue River is a small little town, and of course the Weimer community is a big part of what we call Rogue River, and it is more rural. We're not, I mean, there's much more rural areas in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So to say that we've, you know, a third of our school is in FFA, that's pretty significant, because it's really, we're not the country bumpkins that we're, that we maybe made out to be. You know, this is a pretty diverse, you know, area as far as, you know, what people do for a living and that kind of thing. So pretty significant. And now we probably talked about this last year when you were here, Amber, but who are the officers right now?
So right now the officer team consists of Zoe Reeder, Annabelle Lee, Gabe Tambellini, Molly Collada, Andy Herrings, and myself. All right, and I got them all. We have seven officers. We serve on an executive committee, which basically means that there are no real titles. Like, we don't have a treasurer, a vice president, and a social media correspondent. We just have seven officers with one chairman. I am currently serving as the chairman this year, so that basically just means that I help run the meetings and everything, and if there's a tied vote, then I cast my vote, and whichever way it goes. We try to keep the workload pretty even, so then there's no one going out for an officer position just for the position itself. We like to do a lot of behind the scenes work and not have the spotlight on us. We like to put it on other FFA members as often as we can.
And we also have Laura Howard on that team
Laura
as well.
Laura, if you hear this, I'm so sorry.
we would never forget you, Laura.
Laura
is one of my favorites, and she knows that.
Love Laura.
So yeah, we wouldn't forget Laura. But we mentioned a little bit ago about your trips to Indianapolis. So this most recent trip, what kinds of things did you see? And tell us what that was about. I don't think I mentioned exactly why you were going to Indianapolis.
Okay, so 10 of us, right? About 10 of us?
Yeah, 10 of us.
So 10 of us, including our two advisors. We went to Kentucky and Indianapolis, and that was for the 90th FFA National Convention. And so the convention itself was 3 days.
Mm-hmm. I think 65,000 FFA members.
65,000 FFA members attended. And at the convention, there were lots of workshops ranging from agriculture education to farm sustainability to leadership classes. There were also sessions that were run by the national officers along with motivational speakers.
Muhammad Ali's daughter, Layla Ali, actually spoke at one of the sessions.
Did.
That was exciting.
And then also, before we went to the convention, we stopped in Kentucky and Tennessee, and we went to a lot of different places. We did a lot of sightseeing. We went to the Mammoth Caves. We went to Music Row. We went to...
quite a few Civil War battlegrounds in Tennessee. Those were really exciting. In previous years, we were able to tour the Caterpillar factory and a John Deere manufacturing plant, so we saw some really cool agricultural technologies in the making. But, this year it was a lot of kind of, like, sightseeing. We also got to attend the Grand Ole Opry one of the nights there, and that's really an amazing experience. It's a radio show, not a concert, so that's something that is really stressed when you go to the Grand Ole Opry. It's a radio show, not a concert.
That's right. That's right. That might rank the highest for me, but right behind that would have been going to Caterpillar or John Deere.
Yeah.
I grew up in the hydraulic business, so things that move and things that dig and crawl and whatever, those are all of interest to me. Kind of nerdy, but I grew up fixing hydraulics and so that's right up my alley. And of course now these things are run with computers and anyone that listens to this show knows that I struggle with technology. so I probably would be pushed out of the tractor business at this point, because I kind of like the car business. They're all computerized now, and so a mechanic has to be more than just someone who knows how to turn a wrench. But
that
sounds like some fun stuff. And so that was the national convention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Zoe, you didn't pick a fight with Layla Ali, did you? Because she's pretty tough.
I didn't. I was thinking about it. I was sitting in my seat, and I was like, I mean, that would be interesting. Just walk up on stage, try to. But I was like, no, I don't want to lose.
Yeah.
Like,
bodyguards
nationally.
Wouldn't have appreciated
yeah.
that.
too much paperwork. I figured
you might not have gotten that close. She's quite the VIP.
Yeah.
And I think the most famous motivational speaker I've seen was Rudy Rudiger, that the movie Rudy is about. I saw him once, and he's quite the motivational speaker. Not a very big guy either, so the movie had him depicted pretty well. He had no business playing college football. But that's great. And so now FFA, of course, is more than just a trip to national convention and a beef feed.
A lot more.
You guys have a lot of competitions and whatnot. Why don't you tell us about each one of the competitions that you've been involved in?
All right, I'll go ahead and start. Not necessarily the ones that I've been involved in, but the career development events, which are competitions, range anywhere from veterinary science, public speaking, and to mechanics. There's something for everyone. I've been involved in quite a few, such as soil science evaluation, meat judging, public speaking, parliamentary procedure, agricultural sales. I'm sure there's other ones that I'm completely blanking on, but there's something in it for everybody, all different times of year. Hands-on, also like public speaking and other kinds of contests.
Yeah, so like Amber said, there's a ton of different ones, such as floriculture or forestry. I just, from personal experience, I've been involved in quite a few over the past 4 or 5 years. Kind of some of the ones that I always go back to, public speaking, extemporaneous speaking, forestry, cooperative, there's a cooperative quiz, ag sales, parliamentary procedure, job interview. There's a ton, and there's always something for everybody. It doesn't matter what you're into, so.
Yeah, and I know our chapter has done pretty well in a lot of these competitions. Now, I don't expect you to remember who did what and what, but let me know some of the competitions that we've done as a Rogue River chapter have done really well in or have won. Because I know over the last couple of years, we've done, just from me watching social media, we've done really well. So why don't you tell us, Amber, about some of the things that the Rogue River chapter has excelled at?
So last year in the spring, our chapter actually placed second in the state for agricultural mechanics. So that deals with electricity, not landscaping, but surveying, and all kinds of things that I don't understand, but our mechanics team placed second in the state, and I know that they were only a few points behind first place in qualifying for the national contest. But then this year, in October, our students for the soils evaluation, which is judging the science behind soil, saying what parent material was there, telling the texture and drainage feasibility, what crops would do best on that soil. We placed first place in the districts, and then we placed second in the state of Oregon and have actually qualified to compete at the national contest in Oklahoma this spring. So that's really exciting because soils is really intensive. There's all kinds of things to learn, and our students really worked hard with that. And then in November, I believe it was, our chapter competed in veterinary science for the first time ever. Miss Bambino jumped right in with, I think the students even gave shots to some dogs in class, like learned all kinds of animal anatomy. And our advanced team, I believe they placed 10th in the state, and then our beginning team actually took first place in the whole state of Oregon. Beginning teams don't have the opportunity to move on to nationals, otherwise they would be, but it's really something to brag about, I would say, especially it being Rogue River's first year being involved in a state contest that most schools train all year in. So that's basically all that's happened so far this year. We're gearing up for our leadership CDEs, which are most of the public speaking events, and we have a full slate for the first time ever. I believe we're bringing the maximum amount of participants for every contest, so that's exciting.
Well, that's impressive. And which events have you excelled at, Zoe? What are your best events you've been involved in?
So I'd say currently my number one event would be extemporaneous speaking. Not many people like to do it. It's a lot of work and it's hard, and they kind of get scared away. So I don't know. It's a lot of fun to do, and this is my third year doing it. I wish I could do it longer because I love it so much.
Yeah, and I would imagine, as well as I know you, you probably don't shy away from embarrassing yourself.
I do not at all. Not at all.
I don't either, and that was never more evident than when I took a header off the bleachers a couple of weeks ago. I got the Bronx cheer and I took a bow, and
it was,
you
good.
Know,
it was good. You did great.
Some of us are not afraid to make fools of ourselves, and that kind of speaking has got to be stressful.
It definitely is.
Yeah. So yeah, and I know after what would have been your seniors, so what would have been after your junior or sophomore year, I had Molly Culotta in here over the summer, and she talked about participated in the Creed speech. What's the Creed speech?
So the Creed speaking contest is for all first-year FFA members, usually 8th grade or 9th graders. It's a 5-paragraph creed that was adopted by the National FFA, I believe in the 1960s or 1970s, maybe. I'm probably not saying.
So some really old people that did that.
Exactly. No, so it's
yeah, I'll shut your mic off now.
It's 5 paragraphs of basically what like believing in the future of agriculture and what kinds of things people can do to like help within their own community. It's just like a set of beliefs almost that most FFA members learn. It's the first thing that you learn when you join FFA. It's the creed. It's I probably couldn't remember each and every word, but it's still something that I remember now as a senior. Molly did well in that. We have a few freshman members who have been practicing almost every day, getting ready for the Creed speaking contest. It's really exciting looking back as a senior, seeing the freshmen get so excited about a contest that I dreaded my freshman year completely. So that's exciting.
Yeah, so we're past the winter break, and we're heading next will be spring break, and you guys are both seniors. Are you getting nervous? Are you?
Yes.
Is the
nervous is an understatement.
Yeah, the reality. I know Amber, you mentioned, you know, when you were getting these letters from the colleges that realization is starting to set in a little bit. So, but are you excited? I mean, are you ready for the next chapter? Because it's coming quick. And I got to say, I know you two, not super well, but I know you enough that you're both ready. You guys are ready for the next chapter. The character and the hard work is definitely there. So what are you expecting it's going to be like next? And I can't tell you. I didn't go to four-year college, so I'm not the one that can say, oh, I can help you through this. No, I have no idea. So what are you guys looking forward to with the next step after graduation?
I know I'm excited. I'm going to be a first-generation college student, so I don't really know what to be expecting. I'm kind of expecting to be really lost at whatever campus I get to for at least the first month. I think that Rogue River has really prepared us all a lot. I mean, our class is like a family pretty much. We're all really in the same position, being terrified as to what's happening, but I'm sure any high school senior across the nation is probably worse off than we are, because we have such a supportive school community and class around us, getting us ready for the unexpected, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm scared a little bit just because I don't really know what to expect. Kind of the opposite of Amber. Everybody in my family's gone to college. But, you know, I mean, I have friends that are like, they always talk about partying and that kind of thing. And then I have friends who are like, this is the worst years of my life. Like, I'm so lost. I don't know what I'm doing. My classes suck. I'm failing everything and I'm in debt. So, I mean, I don't have any specific expectations for what it's going to be like, because, I mean, you kind of make it how you want. On the plus side, I know Oregon State campus pretty well, so at least I won't be too lost, hopefully. But...
Well, yeah. And I would say, and this is not to take anything away from Amber, because her story is definitely legitimate, but I think having the pressure of not being the first one to go to college can be tough. I didn't have that. My mother didn't go to college. My father had some college, but he doesn't have a degree, but he owns two very successful businesses and does very well for himself. But I would think that having college graduates around you kind of puts the pressure on you. And we've heard those stories of, well, I mentioned Rudy, the movie Rudy, you know, the quarterback friend of his that was at Notre Dame because he had to, you know, he felt like, you know, I think he described himself as a legacy. I'm a legacy. Well, that's a lot of pressure on someone. So,
definitely.
But you're going to do fine. Oregon State, I think, is a good fit for you. And, with both of your involvement in FFA, it sounds like it's going to serve you really super well going into your, you know, the next chapter for you. You're both going into some sort of agricultural, you know, connected career. So
yeah,
I think you'll both do well. So is there anything else I missed that we wanted to get to today?
You know what? I can't.
I just want to make sure. So.
I don't believe that.
I think we touched on everything. So let's go back now to what the main trigger for today's show was, the beef feed. So let's go over the details one more time.
So
it's a week from Saturday, which is February the
3rd.
And it's going to be at the high school this year.
And dinner tickets are $15 at the door. It's a tri-tip dinner with all the fixings and everything along with that. It's a really great dinner.
Now, I got to go to your awards banquet last year. And
thanks, pork loin.
Thanks to you and Annabelle for inviting me to that. If the food is half as good at the beef feed as it was at the awards banquet, you folks are in for a treat. If you have not been to the FFA beef feed, these people can cook, let me tell you. This is some good food. It's a great cause. It's their biggest fundraiser. And there's the dessert auction this year, which you didn't have before. Mm-hmm. If you want to donate for the dessert auction, you can get a hold of Amber through the Facebook page, yes. Rogue River FFA Facebook page. If you can't find that or you're not sure, you can contact me through the Rogue Talk Facebook page, or you can send an email to feedback@943thebridge.com. Put Rogue Talk in the subject line. Those will come right to me, and I will pass those messages along to these ladies. And so it starts at what time?
It starts at 5 p.m. is when the doors open, the silent auction starts, and then 5:45 p.m. is dinner. But I would suggest getting there a little bit before 5 p.m. because we're expecting around 400 people, so seats will fill up.
Yeah, if you want to get good seats and you want to participate in the silent auction, you got to get there early enough so you can get your auction stuff written down and still have your seats. So I would encourage everybody to get out there. It's a great cause. This FFA program at Rogue River it's amazing. Mr. Herringshaw is doing a fabulous job. And the other adults. I know I can't name everybody, but there's other adults I know involved that help out in various ways. I got to meet a couple of them last year at the awards banquet. I'm so happy to have you two in the studio today, and I hope that the Beef Feed is a huge success. We'll plug it again next week on the show because it'll be the next day. But we're happy to have you here, and all the success in the world to both of you ladies.
Right, well, thank you very much.
And we will take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. USA Gymnastics has confirmed that its entire board of directors will resign as requested by the U.S. Olympic Committee. The move came today in the fallout from the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. President Trump's proposal for a path to citizenship for nearly 2 million so-called Dreamer illegal immigrants is not going over well with some of his supporters. Outside groups that cheered the rhetoric that dominated Mr. Trump's campaign are warning of fierce backlash against the president's party in November's elections. The Massachusetts Gaming Commission is launching a review following allegations of sexual harassment and assault by Wynn Resorts founder Steve Wynn, detailed in a Wall Street Journal report. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 224 points to a record 26,617. This is SRN News.
The home of the Chieftain Nation. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With me, SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Walmart is cutting jobs in its global business, finance, human resources, merchandise, real estate, and technology divisions. The mayor of Bentonville, Arkansas, says there will be fewer than 500 total job losses at Walmart's home office in the city. The Trump administration is preparing to unveil its plans for roads, bridges, and other infrastructure next month. President Trump says he will unveil his plan after next week's State of the Union address. He says this plan could generate as much as $1.7 billion in infrastructure spending. He says he is counting on state and local governments to come up with a significant share of the total. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed more than 140 points with business.
welcome back to Rogue Talk. And I want to just thank those ladies again for coming in, Amber Cripps and Zoe Reeder. And if you missed any of that interview, as always, the shows will go up on our website. I usually get the show up about 4:30, so you can watch for that if you'd like to listen to it again, or if you missed any part of it, that will be available about a half an hour after the show. So thanks again to them, and yeah, the FFA program at Rogue River is fabulous. Like they mentioned, about a third of the school population participates in FFA, and you know, I know we're a smaller school, but that's a very significant number, and you could hear from the way they describe the different events that they're involved in that how successful that program has become. And I love being what little part of it I'm able to be, just, you know, bringing them in for the interviews. And like I said, they invited me to the awards banquet last year, and I had a good time with that. The FFA program is running strong at Rogue River, and it's something that this community can definitely be proud of. So we've got a little bit of extra time here, and before I get to all of the sports, I don't really have any local news to report. Nothing that really stood out to me that we need to talk about. But I thought I'd talk a little bit about, since we just got a couple of minutes, and this will be the time when, you know, some of you can turn it off because the Rogue announcer is going to get on his soapbox. But I'm really not. I just want to talk about this morning on Once for All. If you're not listening to Once for All, you need to. It's a great show, especially for my Christian listeners. Pastor Gigline has a wonderful show at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday, and on Fridays I'm a guest on that show, and we talk about current events and politics, and Pastor Gigline, you know, tries to relate it to what the Christian worldview of some of those things that are going on is. And but on today's show, we talked a little bit about late yesterday, the president had mentioned what he thought were the concessions that he could make and what he wanted to get in return to get an immigration bill done. And a lot of folks on the right are all up in arms about, you know, that he's giving away the farm and that he's, you know, offering too much and not getting enough. And of course, the left, it's not really enough for them. I mean, we'll see what the politicians think. But I would remind really people on both sides of the issue, the statement of the president is, while it's very important, it really has nothing to do with what the law is going to be. The history of, like, for instance, DACA, where we hear a lot of talk about the DACA program. Well, DACA doesn't exist. And what I mean by that is DACA would have to be a law that was passed by the Congress and signed by the president. And that didn't happen. The President Obama created DACA. It's an executive order. President Obama controlled the entire Congress for a portion of his presidency. And that's how we got the Obamacare bill. And they had to play some little, you know, tricks with the system to get that bill passed with the amount of votes that they had to avoid a filibuster. And all of that aside, he had a Congress that was mostly in his control, much the same as President Trump does at the moment. He didn't have full control because he didn't have a 60 votes in the Senate, a filibuster proof majority, but he had the majority for a short time, as President Trump does right now. But they didn't choose to pass the DACA bill then. And it wasn't just because the Republicans would have filibustered. There were Democrats that were not on board for that DACA bill that was discussed back then. So he put in a DACA program as an executive order. And there's a few misnomers, you know, going around. First of all, the the first two letters in DACA is deferred action, meaning that it was putting something off that was going to happen. So it was allowing the so-called dreamers, which I don't like that term. It doesn't really mean anything. It's an emotional term. It doesn't have any actual meaning, but it gave them some security that they weren't going to be deported immediately, that, you know, they could feel a little more secure. And I'm not necessarily against that, although I don't think you have to put in a fake immigration program that isn't backed up by law. You can just tell, you know, the illegal immigrants or the dreamers or whichever group it is you're speaking to, you can just tell them, look, we have no plans to deport you at this time. That's not a priority of our administration, and we're not going to do that. But the expiration of the so-called DACA program was set aside by President Obama. Now, I'm not 100% sure. I'm a little unclear on where Trump's connection to this becomes. I mean, obviously, he's now the president, and he can reverse an executive order if he wants to. But really, the deadline was preset, and that's where the deferred action comes in. This was not a permanent plan. But again, we now have the president saying, you know, what he's willing to give up, what he wants in return. And, you know, it's got people talking on both sides. But the point that I'll get back to after saying all that is it's up to the Congress to decide this. I mean, yes, President Trump could sign a similar executive order and start a new DACA program. I don't think he intends to do that. He wants a law passed, which is the proper way that this should be done. And so I think both sides need to, you know, calm down a little bit. It's nothing has happened yet. This is all in the works, but it's the Congress that needs to write the law, and it's the Congress that needs to pass it. And then the president decides whether or not he wants to sign that law. Now, as most of you know that listen to the show on any kind of regular basis, I'm more of a conservative. I consider myself a constitutional conservative, a little more libertarian when it comes to social issues. Not completely, but at least on certain ones, I'm a little more libertarian. But when it comes to law, the rule of law, I'm for the rule of law. I think the Constitution is the law of the land. I don't think it's living and breathing unless we go through the amendment process, which is set out in the Constitution itself. So I don't believe we bend the Constitution to be what we want it to be. We need to go by the words that are in it. And at times, those words are not what we want them to be. And other times they are, but we have to live by the letter of the law. So until they pass anything, it's all just talk. It doesn't mean much. And, you know, we hear the wall, the term the wall talked about. And, you know, I don't know what President Trump's idea of quote unquote the wall is. To me, the wall means a lot of things in certain areas. It absolutely is a physical barrier. It's something that, you know, needs to be in certain places where the easiest places to cross the border would be. But it also can be technology. You know, there's a lot of mountainous, rugged terrain along the border that, you know, you probably could monitor with technology. It wouldn't be necessary to build physical barriers for the entire, you know, southern border. So it means a lot of different things, in my opinion. I don't know what it means to President Trump. His rhetoric would make it sound like that, you know, we're going to build a physical barrier from one end to the other of the border. And that's just not realistic. It's not logical. And I honestly don't think that's what he means. I don't think he's as dumb as he is made out to be, or even makes himself sound at times. I don't think he's the most eloquent speaker, but I don't think he's as dumb as he sounds at times. But having said that, the reason the wall, and again, I'm going to use my definition of the wall, which is securing the border, and that, again, that there's several things that go into securing that border. The wall is important because if we're going to talk about DACA, or we're going to talk about an amnesty program, or we're going to talk about anything to do with especially illegal immigration, it has to start with some sort of control over the border. Because if we do a blanket amnesty, let's say, you're going to have floods of people coming across that border going, you know, oh yeah, we're dreamers too. We've been here for years. Our parents brought us here, or whatever the situation is, depending on what kind of amnesty they do. You just can't, there has to be rules. And even with the DACA program, you know, whatever it turns out to be, whether there's a path to citizenship or not, I prefer the path to citizenship being that we give them a legal status that lets them stay, but you get in the back of the line for citizenship. Just because you've been living here doesn't give you special, you know, you don't get special treatment. Because you happen to be living here already, you're still here illegally, yes, brought here by your parents, but you don't get an extra benefit because your parents broke the law. If we did all of our laws that way, this there'd be a lot of rich kids whose parents were bank robbers and other things like that. That was the analogy that Pastor Gigline used this morning. So this has to be well thought out, and that's the job of the Congress, and they need to think about each one of these issues and plan it out accordingly. I hope that they will do so, and I hope that, you know, we can come to, because nobody wants people living in this country living in fear of their government, even if they're here illegally. You know, we still need to be compassionate towards people, but we also need to hold people to the law. We have we are supposed to be a country of laws, not a country of men. And that could get me down a whole nother tangent of this cult of personality that has taken over our politics that I think is awful, but I won't get into that today. But, you know, we need to all kind of step back and be patient with the process. And then if the process isn't going the way we want it to, then it's time to get up in arms. But right now, nothing has happened. So let's just put the feet to the fire of the politicians and have them, you know, get things done. And if maybe they'll actually do their jobs properly, and we'll all be, you know, a little happier for it. So we can only hope. So hope I didn't get too political there. I have some opinions about it, but really what I, you know, the overarching thing I wanted to hit on is we just need to let's back up a little bit and let the process play itself out and not get too excited about dumb things our president says. So let's quickly take a look at sports while I have a little bit of time left. The results for the basketball this past week, the girls last Saturday, we headed over to St. Mary's and the girls lost 32-53. And then on Tuesday, the Chieftain teams headed to Day's Creek. The girls lost 18-44. And the boys had similar outcomes. They lost at St. Mary's 21-66 and lost at Day's Creek 34-65. And then the boys had an extra game this week. They went to Glide on Wednesday and lost 80-33. The score sounds pretty lopsided, but a lot of the JV team played in that game for the Chieftains because their game got canceled. And so it was a fun game, even though it was pretty lopsided. But the Chieftain teams will be back in action next Tuesday at Illinois Valley, 6 and 7:30 for your game times right here on the Bridge. And that's all the time we've got. Be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.